This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Jackson's there, Billy Head! The goal pushed Billy Huddersfield Town! The most famous goal of Chris Billy's life.
Is this the moment for Lee Fowler? It is. Take your place in Division 2. Huddersfield Town.
Thank you.
Rupian Steve Simonson's boots now. He's missed. Steve Simonson clears the frame of the goal and collapses in a heap of tears. Huddersfield Town are promoted.
Stefan Schindler. Has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
Hello and welcome to episode 204 of the Andy Takes That Chance podcast, the 90-minute podcast with 22 minutes of football chat. This week, the Terriers pick up a seemingly handy point at home to the division's form team, but then for scores elsewhere to go absolutely crazy as Town find themselves outside of the bottom three on goal difference only despite being in the top half of the form table since Darren Moore's departure. There's a stand rename, and also we'll have a look at social media and whether it makes the West Yorkshire Derby one of the more undesirable fixtures. And this week, joining me to look back on another eventful Championship week, we have a man who likes to show up in Richard Cosmala and a man who likes to glow up in Jonathan Gillespie. How are we doing, chaps?
Boys, all good. We'd have took a point, wouldn't we, yesterday when we started. And half-time, I was dreaming big, Matt. Well, I was dreaming big, but yeah. Quite a day, wasn't it? It felt like a massive game, didn't it? I know, not just because we were a derby, it just felt a big occasion to me yesterday. I would kind of feel tense and, yeah, it felt good. It felt like, you know, something that we needed to really get a result out of, and we did. But then, like you said, from 3 o'clock onwards, just forget my life, man. Unbelievable, sure, that, wasn't it? What's going on?
I don't know. Right, as always, this episode is sponsored by Magic Rock Brewing. Use our code of AHTTC10 for 10% off all of your orders at www.magicrockbrewing.com. And if you are from Magic Rock Brewing and listen to this podcast, please reply to my emails. Right, let's have a look at this match. Huddersfield Town 1, Leeds United 1. So Town's injury and illness situation flaring up again this week. Quite a few rumours and murmurs of several Town players with a high temperature, including Brody Spencer, who played through it despite an apparent 100-plus Fahrenheit temperature the day before. Apparently the medical department advised him not to play, but in true Barry Evans style, he said, "I'm going to do it anyway," and he started for us. Mikael Helic made a warm, welcome return to the bench. Balco, unfortunately, still injured with that quad, and a little bit of a surprise maybe with Danny Ward starting up top. But maybe that's how it is now under Andre Brighton-Wrighter. You perform well the previous week, and then you get in this side the next week. Town lining up with a back four as well, despite Dom Howson on the warm-up stating that it's the last thing you want to do against Leeds United, was to line up with a back four. No real surprises, Johnny, I don't think, in the lineup. I think Matos not playing was maybe a bit of a surprise, and Danny Ward starting. But other than that, would it have been what you'd have gone with?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm fine with him starting Ward. I think if he comes on to score two goals, I think in the situation that Brighton rides him, we're not a lot else to go off, really, being so new into the football club. It's kind of a bit hard, isn't it, not to start someone. I mean, what more can you ask them to do? I think Matos was an interesting one. The team sheet came out, you flick him through, he's an obvious gap, he's an obvious player who's not in that 11. And then I guess when you think a bit deeper, looking how he initially set up the formation as a 4-3-3, he's kind of made a pretty much of a choice probably between Matos and Kasumu, and Matos and Hogg. You could probably swap out either of them. I'd more say it's between Matos and Hogg. And I think, okay, he didn't end up being this way, but in a Leeds derby where you need that bit of experience, bit of a calm head, someone who knows the football club, knows the game, I can see why he went Hogg. I'm sure we'll come on to why that probably wasn't the right decision in the end, but I don't think you can blame Brighton Ryder for that. So no, it was good to see a couple of players in the squad who, I mean, we'd heard rumours that might not have been fully fit. It's good to start with Bergsorg. I was thinking a game like this, he's the type of Maverick player that we needed. Player would kind of shy away from a derby, could do that a little bit different, can take on a man and, to me, just be a general nuisance. So as an 11, apart from the caveats I said there, it was a positive team. And it's always nice nowadays to see a town bench where you're looking at and thinking, well, there's players that could come on and actually make a difference and make an impact as well, which was so much of this season, and obviously a lot of last season, we've really not been able to say. So no, couldn't on the face of it, couldn't really complain, but it didn't quite work out how I ever explained it. So I'm sure we'll come on to that.
Yeah, so Cozzy, Leeds came into this game having won 9 league games in a row, looking for
I didn't know that. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Did Sky know two teams were playing? Jesus Christ, their coverage was horrendous.
I don't think so, mate. I've seen a few things, and Jesus, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Let's be honest, though, a very good side who have been on fire this calendar year. Lots of talent in that side and on the bench. I mean, you can pick a player and it's likely cost more than our squad combined. They showed in the opening few minutes what they're capable of, didn't they, with that quality sort of incisive passing move, yeah. that carved Town wide open, and Lee Nichols makes a decent save from Somerville, but really you would expect a player like that to score, wouldn't you, from that situation?
Probably a good save, Matt, to be honest, with his knees, wasn't it, 3.5 minutes in. Yeah, it was kind of ominous when we saw that happen. I thought, here we go, just the space that they had, was it? No, that pulled it back. I remember pulled it across for him, but he just got in so easy. And I thought, I mean, that they always score early, deletes, don't they? This part of this 9 game run is about getting that early goal. So I think I think everyone was thinking, here we go, it's going to be a long lunchtime, but it really is. Lee Nichols, I thought it was a good save, to be honest, Matt. I know what you're saying, he probably should have buried it, but it's
miss it a bit, didn't he?
Yeah,
good, I remember good save from Nichols, but yeah, he did sort of.
Yeah, definitely. And you think, is that going to like set the tone? Is it just going to be one-way traffic? But as you'll probably move it on, he was not.
No, I mean, Town started to force the issue, didn't they, after that? You know, Johnny, you mentioned off air, didn't you, from sort of like the 9th, 10th minute onwards, Town sort of got the grip, you know, got the foot into the game. And they were never the dominant side in possession or anything, but Town made sort of more running going forward, didn't they? And Jack Radoni has that chance, doesn't he? Sort of lets fly from range, which Melier saves. There's a flick from Radoni as well, which again Melier saves. And Sauber Thomas sort of has a really good opportunity, doesn't he? With at one point in that move, him and Kasumu were almost 2-on-1 with the defender Archie Gray, and Sky Sports described that as a phenomenal piece of defending by a generational talent or something like that, didn't they? Whereas for, I think, everyone else looking, Sauber Thomas just turns back inside straight into him when he should be doing a bit better there.
That Radona shot, that Bergsorg flick, were absolutely obscene, man. You know, what a flick that was, wasn't it? I just thought, wow, this is like really, really good. And you know what? I was talking to a Bradford fan last night when out in Brighouse, and he said, mate, watching us over Leeds, we're like watching different sports compared to League Two. And I think sometimes we get like, when we watch Championship, we don't know if the standard's all that. But he said, mate, says even Huddersfield like look really, really good side and that as well. And this is coming from a chicken, mate. So yeah, that beautiful flick, Radoni. I mean, it was pretty good standard save, but it's he's got all the tricks, hasn't he, Del?
Cheers for that, Johnny. Other Johnny.
It's all right. Good to have him back. But no, I think you're right. We were just saying, weren't we, that Leeds did start brightly, and I think we were very lucky, really. We weren't quite switched on. Someone let a runner go on the right-hand side. I can't remember who it was, but there's an overlap which isn't covered, and the ball gets cut in. And really, I think Somerville makes a bit more of a connection with it. He scores, and then the game would have been completely different. But that wasn't the case, and then we switched on quite quickly. And I think once we kind of got a bit of a feel for the ball, we had every reasonable spell. And I say it's a good 15 minutes where the crowd got whipped up. We were creating chances. Obviously, the Radoni one was one of them. The Thomas run was another one. And just looking at the stats for that first half, the Town were a lot more in it than they're kind of given credit for. The game then started to break down quite a bit. We had injuries from both sides. I know Leeds fans have been saying that Town players spent most time on the floor, but I mean, I don't think Gonato used his boots all game. He spent most time on his arse, to name a few. So it was very stop-start. Ref pulled up a few. The trainers came on a few times. It kind of just, the rest of the half ran out pretty much like that. But you flip through some of the stats, obviously possession, yeah, okay, we were in control, but Leeds are a team that like to control the ball. We've got the players to do that. But you actually looked at the impact, shots on goal, it's 5-1 in favour of Town. Corners, it's 5-2 in favour of Town. So, Jimmy, we actually made more an impact on the goal than Leeds did in that first half. And I feel warranted the result as well. And yeah, they weren't just kind of shots from nowhere. Radoni does Tess Millier. The flick, as Cozzy says there, from Radoni as well. Millier's got to get around again. Competition-wise, that does go in. But it's a good chance. Another day, it could have gone in. And then like the Thomas chance again, I just think, from watching it live and watching it again, it's more the pace of the man who's on Kasumu, really, I think, prevents him. I don't think Archie Gray's doing anything other than he can do. I'm not kind of necessarily slating him, but there's not a lot he can do when you've got someone running at you, then just try and block the space. But I think the Kasumu pass is, it's never blatantly on, just because he can't quite get that little bit of space. But if he could have found him, it would have, do you know what I mean, it could have been a good chance. But I'm not sure it was kind of like world-class defending. It was more just trying to show him on one side and stay in front of him, which is relatively quite basic, really. Not to be too salty against a Leeds praise. But no, I think in that first half, we showed the better. We were resilient. They didn't really create anything other than that first chance, which obviously was, like I said, was a good chance, but nothing really else was created. I think we held our own against a team that, I mean, are on this run. But if you kind of ask who at halftime who is a better team, I don't think anyone would have been pointing to Leeds United unanimously.
How mad with that, Thomas, sorry, Matt. I'm mad with that Thomas and Kazuma thing, because Poz mentioned this morning, obviously, remember him, maybe might make a comeback on it at some point, but you think Thomas went for glory rather than passing Kazuma. I could kind of see, If it's Ward up there, or you know, Bergsock, I can maybe see you like give it to a striker. But I'm just thinking, mate, if you're going to do it, back yourself on that as well. And I kind of, it was neither here nor there. It was such a massive chance with that. But I could kind of see him, if you're going to go yourself, you've got to be more decisive than that. But you know, obviously, Kazuma's not renowned for his goals and that as well. But it was just such a big moment with that. I was disappointed in Thomas there, and there was
a moment earlier when Thomas had it higher up the pitch where he could have played Kasumu in, but I think it's Kamara, isn't it? He absolutely sprints back with Kasumu and covers it when it's when they're a bit closer to the box. So the pass definitely wasn't on when they got close to the box, but earlier it perhaps would have been. But yeah, I mean, he didn't want to go on his left foot, did he? That was the issue there. But it wouldn't be a Huddersfield game, would it, without somebody getting injured? Honestly, every game, I've never known a season like this, well, apart from last season. But this time it's Yuta Nakayama who gets injured after Jonathan Hogg wipes out Somerville, who then falls on Nakayama.
Unbelievable, what it domino.
And this causes a reshuffle. And sometimes lately these injuries have worked out better for us, haven't they? The Sheffield Wednesday game, both Radulovic and Healy both went off injured, didn't they? And you were thinking that we're absolutely cursed here. And then Josh Caroma goes up front and scores twice. And on comes Michal Helic back from injury himself, and you know it kind of worked out quite well. But I mean, the injuries, it's insane, isn't it? I've got a question for you. How many ever presents do Huddersfield Town have this season?
Do you mean that? What's your definition other than the obvious? For that
35 league games. Well, who's been available for all of them?
I'd say none. Redone. Redone missed one, hasn't he?
Yeah, your obvious ones are like keeper, but he was out. Matt Pearson's been out. Lees could be quite high on that list. I'd say
out at the start.
Zero, Matt. I'm going to go zero.
Yeah, more than likely.
Because he's right. Zero. Wow. The closest is Sauber Thomas. He's missed one through suspension and one through his other half giving birth last week. So a big congratulations to Sauber Thomas on becoming a dad. It's the best thing ever. But yeah, zero in terms of availability. So that sums up Huddersfield Town, I think, this season. We just mentioned Michal Helic there, and you know, Town are on form. Radoni is the one who's tested Melia twice, and he gets brought down out wide, and he gives Sauber Thomas a chance to deliver another pinpoint ball. And it's again, Sauber Thomas's delivery was really, really decent, I think, for the majority of the game. You know, really testing, and you know, and he puts the ball in. Danny Ward gets a header in. I think Melia makes a bit of a hash of it, really, and pushing it back out. And
did you think I thought it was a good save, that, Matt? I thought it was a decent save.
No, but I thought his reaction afterwards to push it back into a danger area was pretty poor. But and then Michal Helic's on hand for his ninth goal of the season, and you know, tweeted a couple of weeks ago about the top scoring Town defenders, which obviously Cozzy forgot about when he put that tweet out last night, didn't you, mate?
Oh, mate, I don't even drink anymore, so you can't even. It was a debacle with that tweet. It was a good photo, though, wasn't it? Take the positives.
It were all about the photo, wasn't it? That's what you were trying to get out
there,
wasn't it?
I should have just put the bloody photo on, not any words.
Your first effort was Mbappe.
Oh, did you see that? I put that the wrong way around, didn't I? That was greater than all, mate. Just ignore everything, just admire the photo. But just coming on Helic, mate, it's not that he scores, it's just how well he takes the goals. Was it, let me get this right, was it the Middlesbrough game when he scored? Beautiful quick feet, or was it Blackburn? I can't remember one of them two, but similar there. I mean, the Leeds goal away took well. Yeah, these are not like scuffs or, you know, anything like that. He takes the goal so well. Like, I know it's near and what have you, but it's alertness. He always seems like, to me, like in a previous form, he would have striker because he just is so good to, you know, to be there as well. And to be honest, it was because I was going wild like when we scored, and I didn't really know who'd scored, but I just had a feeling. I wonder if it's Helic again, and lo and behold, he's charging off towards the Cowshed Loyal as well. But yeah, how good we are set pieces, though. I mean, it seems to continue for a few years now on that as well. And I know we mentioned later, Matt, about bemoaning at like the passing on the ground, but Huddersfield Town seem to be a really good set piece. Dangerous team, and we're so renowned for it as well. And there we go again.
Sauber Thomas, though, isn't it? That's where the danger comes from. It's Sauber in it, Johnny, where the danger. Because when he didn't play the other week, the set pieces from Radoni and Kuroma were just nowhere near, were they?
No, and I think it's the confidence, well, isn't it? If you're Helic or Pearson, who seems to quite well deputise for Helic when he's not on the pitch when it comes to goal scoring, but he's gone back to his second fiddle yesterday. But you just know, unless you play football at any level, and you know you've got someone who can deliver the ball like that, you're just that bit more up for it. You're confident the ball's going to come in. You know whatever signal he's giving is going to be back post, front post, whatever they're looking to do, you know it's going to be there. So that gives you that little bit extra percent to think, well, if you get yourself there, you know you've got the best chance of scoring. And the combination of the two as well, the balls that go in, then Helic's ability to kind of,
he reads it well, doesn't he?
Make that impact, yeah. Make his run, his timings are really good. He's understanding where the ball goes. Because obviously the goal yesterday, the ball was, well, we assume the ball was for Ward. Ward actually won the ball. It's a reasonable header as well. It's a decent chance. But in fact, he's quick. He's still aware. I mean, it's that, like Cozzy says, it's more of a striker's goal, that, because it's that instinct to run in and trying to make an impact, where he can make an impact on the pitch. I mean, if the keeper's saved it, the defender's not backing off and kind of thinking, well, I don't want to commit too much, because I know if they break, and Leeds do break quite quickly from set pieces, which is their game plan, because they don't leave any men up, and they just break 100 miles an hour. So that could be the back of his head. But he's reading the play, reading the ball, sees the danger quickly for anyone else in the pitch, and then slots it in. So like you say, he does have that brain as well to get there. So it's a combination of the two, but ultimately, if the ball's crap, it doesn't matter how good of a header or reader Pellick is, because he's not going to get there. So we are fortunate to have somebody like Thomas.
To say the pitch were horrendous as well, Johnny, even better finish to say it was a horrendous pitch, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I'm amazed he managed to connect with it, to be honest. It's all awful
yeah,
pitch,
no, I thought it might have bubbled over his foot, yeah.
I believe he didn't get called off like Valley Parade.
No. And Matt, then, the turning point, you're going to come out sending off, I hope, or I've knackered your running order.
No, it's... Jonathan Hogg's moment, isn't it?
Where it's the fans' moment, mate. Leeds have fallen. Honestly, it's classic camp comedy for Town, isn't it? I couldn't believe it. Leeds have fallen. Oh, shit. He's off. Honestly, that's just Town all over, isn't it?
Hoggy with the people's elbow. I mean, I don't think anyone can disagree with him being sent off, to be honest. Second yellow card for the elbow on Firpo. I mean, he looks at him twice, doesn't he? It's not like a big swinging clock or anything, but he fishes for it. He puts his arm out, and it's like, why have you even done that? It's not like he's put his arm up to try and jump or anything like that. And it's just a bizarre head loss, really, from you know, someone who you would expect to be the most calm player on the pitch. Like you mentioned, Johnny, he's probably picked for his calmness over Matos, and then he's channeled his inner rock, hasn't he? And he's dished out a people's elbow, and it's like, what's and I can't, you know, you can sit here and you can try and argue with the decision. You can't argue with that. It's a second yellow.
No, you can't. And I think it's one of them where you might even get a red for it. Probably not, given the speed of it, and it's not like a really malicious elbow, but it is an elbow. And even if you're going to do a straight red, you won't get it overturned. Let's say that. I was actually really confused in the ground, because I didn't clock that Hogg had been booked first, because of the way the Hogg tackle on Somerville and then Nakayama being involved. I just assumed I didn't see clock the yellow, because I was more cursing the fact we had another player down who needed. I mean, it was Nakayama and probably going to go off. But I hadn't clocked it. So when the second year on the red came out, I instantly thought it was Kasumu. I was just couldn't understand what was going on. Really. Yeah, I did. So I was really confused by it. But no, like straight on to at half time, and you can quite quickly see that no Town fans were kind of saying they were annoyed at the ref for that. We were annoyed at the ref for other reasons, but not for that. And when you watch it again, you can't really have any complaints. And it's really surprising. I'm not going to sit here and have a real pop at Tony Hogg, because he's got enough credit in the bank. But it's surprising to me. And I think, like I said, that's probably why I was on the pitch over Matos. Where we are at the moment was for that level head, and unfortunately, who knows how much it would have cost us? But I'm confident to say that it really did cost us. Luckily, not a point, but I think there's a real good chance we could have probably got more out of that. So, it's one of them.
You were frothing, weren't you?
Oh, I'm raging, mate. I'm absolutely raging. I think if that had been Tom Edwards doing it, there'd have been hell on social media. There'd been hell on everything and that as well. I think it's fair enough, Johnny. He has got credit in the bank. You can't argue with that. We walk past his mural every time we go to the ground and that as well. But yeah, I mean, especially when, I mean, Brian Wright didn't even have to say it in his presser, but that was the one thing that I kind of got messaged loud and clear, just a time for Kool-Aids in a derby, and he did what he did. But my phone were going absolutely nuts in my pocket about 5 minutes earlier, and I didn't know what was going on. And I had about four Leeds fans saying, Pearson, how the hell he's still on the pitch? And I were thinking, what is... I couldn't recall kind of the incident, but I'll tell you what, we got away with that, I think, on Somerville's calf and that as well. But I think that's the most frustrating thing. We kind of got away with that and without no one seeing it. And then Hogg does that. And you just... Obviously, we get the point and what have you, but you just one of those, you just think, get in there and... I suppose anywhere on the pitch, I think it'd have been the same answer, but right near the benches, obviously, Fark and his team were all up, and he were only going one way, really. To be fair, I thought it would have straight red. My eyesight's not right. Could have started a killer now and that as well, but it's... we're raging, Matt. It was just bizarre. It was just...
I mean, Hoggy being off the pitch, it was the... Whether it's yellow or red card, him being sent off was the right call, wasn't it, in that situation? So when was the last time Jonathan Hogg got sent off? Question for you both.
Oh, no, this, because it would, I think, Watford away, wasn't it? Premier League.
Premier League.
Sorry, Matt.
Nope.
Ooh.
Not Watford away. Watford
was it straight away red or two yellows? Give us a clue.
Straight red.
Home or away game?
No, I can't think. Watford one. Because that Watford one was
ridiculous, didn't it? I mean, just David Seymour got booked against Leeds for I mean, Kasima got booked against Leeds for shooting, and then Jonathan Hogg got booked second yellow for passing the ball at Watford, didn't he? So
I'll always remember that one, Matt, against his nemesis, and I forgot who it was, the guy he had previously in the Premier League. He played at Forest, didn't he? He didn't get sent off today. He didn't get sent off for it, but it would have been horrendous.
Against Forest, no. But he got sent off the first time when he dropped him.
Who were the player?
Oh, Arrieta.
Arrieta, yeah.
So it seems to be a big fan of The Rock, does Jonathan Hogg, because he pretty much gave Arrieta a rock bottom, didn't he, against Cardiff back in August 2018. The Watford one was the season before.
Matt, what did you think at half-time then? What were your mindset? Like, obviously, what's happening? Were you thinking, we're going to lose, we're knackered? Would you think we can hang on? We could still maybe win. What were you thinking? The job's knackered?
I thought we'd lose, to be honest. I thought they would have too much quality second half. But I was a little bit bored. I thought we were fantastic first half. I know Daniel Farke kind of gave us a sort of faint praise and took it away by calling us a bunch of cloggers, pretty much, didn't he? But he mentioned the sort of, he said there was 18 minutes in something the ball was in play, didn't he? Which they seem to have an issue with. It's not a stat I tend to look at a lot, is ball in play. But I thought we played well. I thought we had a game plan. I thought we executed it really well. I know we were a little bit agricultural at times in terms of, you know, tackling. Matty Pearson flattened Somerville at one point, and I thought that's what the Leeds fans were on about. It was like an aerial battle, and Pearson just sort of like bounced him a couple of yards, and I thought that's what they were on about when Pearson thing. I completely missed the one down the back of
the legs. That was the booking, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I didn't think that was was a booking, to be honest, because he won the ball with the header. I know it was a little bit, it was quite physical, shall we say, but I didn't think it
industrious.
Was
booking.
And then Bamford swung for Radoni.
I thought Bamford and Nonto should have been booked as well. So I don't think it was the easiest game for the referee, was it? Because we were quite snappy, shall we say. But I mean, that's what we had to do, isn't it? Because they're a really good side. It's what we had to do. The Leeds were very flat, I thought. I don't know if it was just because they played in midweek, you know, the game in the FA Cup.
Pitch were horrendous, Matt.
That's bollocks, is that? The pitch was horrendous. There was
unbelievable. I think he must have seen Bradford pitches. But I liked about what we did, Matt, were like, we kind of went forward and then we kind of retreated, and we were doing kind of different things than that as well. You know, like when I think of what Moore got totally wrong at Elm Road, we were like so naive and open and that as well. But when we came forward and then we kind of retreated back into a shape and that as well, and we got stuck in, and we did everything that we needed to do. I just thought it was a really smart play from us, because I think it's really difficult, isn't it, in a game like this, well, in modern day football, to kind of get stuck in like they used to, you know, get an early tackling and all this lot. And I thought we just about got away with everything and that as well. And obviously that, it was so frustrating with the Og thing and that as well. But that's what you need to do against Leeds. I remember that Preston game.
Getting the first goal against them, so key as well, because if they score first, they're off, aren't they? And that was always going to be key as well. If they'd have scored first, they'd have gone up a level and gone away from us. But I thought there were just little signs, I thought, where Leeds just sort of cut open once or twice in that first half. And I was like, oh, if they do that a couple more times, we're in real trouble. But it never really came. And the second half, really, Matos came on for Danny Ward, didn't he, Alex Matos? And the amount of, you don't get access, do you, to the stats on ground covered anywhere, unfortunately, because it's all in the sports bra things that they wear, isn't it? And Matos and Kasumu were unbelievable, weren't they? You know, after Jonathan Hogg's been sent off, we're a man light in midfield. And I just thought Alex Matos and David Kasumu were absolutely unreal in midfield. You know, and the amount of space they covered, the tackles they put in, I just thought they were both absolutely superb, really, really good. I mean, passing maybe wasn't a strong point. I mean, Towns' inability to pass the ball 5 yards is something which has driven me absolutely mad for 3 years. But I just thought they were unbelievable. Radoni was great as well, I thought, in terms of his work.
Brilliant, Matt. Brilliant, mate. He was.
But it's just the amount of work that we put in. And you know, Leeds got back in the game, didn't they? But at the time when they did, it was almost like they scarcely deserved it, because they hardly done it. They'd had a lot of the ball, but they'd hardly had any chances. And I mean, it was a bit of quality, wasn't it? Dan James plays in Roberts, and I think Roberts is a really good player, and he puts a really
good ball in,
and Bamford can't miss, and he's onside as well. There's no qualms with that at all. But after that, you expected them to really, really come at us and batter us and win the game, but it didn't really come, did it? I mean, Rutter had that header from the set piece that went over, and Somerville hit the post, and I thought that was in. And I think if he'd have scored that, it'd have been really unjust. I felt the draw was probably the fair result, but Leeds just didn't quite, never really got out of second gear, did they, really?
But, Matt, I just keep mentioning Rodoni all night, but again, Rodoni were massive in that Somerville thing because he's harrying and that kind of just, he could have maybe took it first time, Somerville, but the fact that he kind of pressed him and that. It's honestly, Rodoni were absolutely sensational, mate. And more for his discipline, his defensive work than anything else, his engine. He were absolutely sensational. I feel guilty, me. I think about 3-4 weeks ago, I were kind of saying.
You slagged him off.
He's not that kind of the player one, and since then he's just been incredible. How weird compared to slagging off, got it, that Stephen Chicken did last week.
It's like them all off. We might get in the playoffs at this rate.
Like they were saying on the other podcast last week, Matt, he's only 22, is the guy, and that as well. And he's definitely just set for better things. He just seems a nice grounded guy, and that as well. You can just tell he is kind of social media posts, the stuff he does with the club and that as well. But you know what? It's so frustrating because I don't know how you watch games, but in my head, I was just thinking about a minute before, I think Leeds are running out of ideas here. I just thought, this is happening. We could do it. And as soon as you think that, why do you... It's almost as bad as Leeds falling apart again and then I'll get sent off. It's just like the jinx. And he would just flash. He were a great ball in, wasn't it? And that as well. And like you said, I just thought the cavalry, he never came, Matt, did he? I thought we saw out the game pretty well.
Because they had the players on the pitch to do it. They've got some great players. No one's going to sit there and say they're a bad side by any stretch. But it just never, they were just a bit flat. I don't know whether we kicked them a bit too much for the liking or whether they were just a bit tired. I think they've had a run of games, haven't they? But Johnny, I mean, the rested players midweek, didn't they? They rested Rutter, they rested Somerville, didn't they? A couple of others until late on. So it's not like they played 90 minutes and extra time midweek. But it was strange, wasn't it? Because I expected them to be a lot more sort of at it, really, and attackers with pace. But there was a Leeds fan afterwards said to me, he said that they lack sort of that creative central midfielder who can unpick locks, if you like, and maybe that might have come into it because we did sit pretty deep in a low block, didn't we? And they did sort of struggle to sort of play around it, I guess. But I mean, they brought on Joel Pirro, who's an excellent player, didn't they? And all the players they brought on, you were just sat there thinking, Jesus Christ, wish we had one of these. And I think you just have to give Town enormous credit for the way that we defended. Tom Lees, I thought, was outstanding as well. He slips under the radar so often every week, does Tom Lees, but he's just so dependable, isn't he? It was just such a good digging in, backs to the wall performance. And I think the players come out of that second half with enormous credit because they could have, when that goal goes in for Leeds on another day, to quote a famous ex-manager, we could have wilted and lost the game, but we didn't. And for me, Matos and Kasumu were absolutely paramount in that, in the amount of work that they got through.
Yeah, Matos is a brilliant player. He's my type of footballer. There's one point, he probably he didn't make the highlight reel, and nor should it really, but there's one point right in front of where I sit, so right from the dugouts, where he's trying to get to the ball, and he's like running to it. The ball's coming along the touchline. He kind of looks and thinks, it's a bit too high for my foot. It's a bit too low for my head. And he just full on dives. He like salmons to try and get anything on it. Awesome. And at that point, I was like, I like Cozy. I think he is destined for bigger and better things. But you don't know. Chelsea breed players to sell them. And if you think if you're looking to kind of make some more investment, he'd be a quality player to pick up, and probably with a view to maybe.
I'd love him back next season.
So if you're looking to look at that, take on that Brentford model or Brighton model, he'd be kind of would fit that brilliantly. And I agree with you. He did a press conference a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? And I think with the first few questions were a bit dry and he didn't seem to give much. But when someone asked him something interesting, you saw his smile. He does seem a really nice, kind of like personable lad. As do a lot of them, to be honest. As do a lot of them. But yeah, I think a lot of the credit does need to go to Town, really. And also, you've seen a few people say on Twitter, it's anti-football. I think people forget that we were down to 10 men as well. So teams are naturally going to look to do that. I think a team in our position in the league is naturally going to look to do that anyway. But we were down to 10 men. You're going to try and do it even more. It wasn't that we weren't interested in playing football. When we got our chance, we tried to. Unfortunately, going back to your point earlier, there's a couple of times second half where simple break passes weren't made, or they were put out of play, or they were 2-3 yards in front. And in that situation, when you're 10 men down and you're playing against a team like they are in the league, it's unforgivable. And it was a little bit frustrating to see, but then you can point to tired legs, tired minds as a bit of an excuse for that. But you've got to give them credit. I think they only really had, look at the stats, only had one shot kind of on goal in the second half. I think they did kind of run out of ideas. They tried to mix it up. They brought on two strikers. They refreshed wingers by taking Nutter off and bringing James on. And still, it didn't really work, apart from, like I said, that one overlap from Conor Roberts, who's a player that I really rate as well. I'm surprised he's not really kind of got in Burnley's first team for this season, to be honest. So that is surprising that he's back in the Championship. But it's clever. He sees his space. He drives into it. He's ahead of it. And it's just one of them. But no, I think a lot of credit does need to go for Town. I think it wasn't so much Leeds, maybe a bit of tiredness. But again, like I said, they didn't play first team against Chelsea. I did look at that lineup. The only time I probably looked at the Leeds United lineup all season against Pride one time, just to see who they were playing. And I was a bit disappointed to see who they'd actually dropped a few, to be honest. But no, I think you do have to give credit, because they were compact. They played when they could do. Great defending. I think Brody Spencer, again, was absolutely unreal. I think he's probably just gone off for illness, hasn't he? But I was worried at one point. He did the kind of classic sub after making a great tackle and turning the bench and did a sub. So I was hoping, again, I was thinking, oh God, not another injury. It's ridiculous. But look, I think it might just be down to illness. But what a player he's turning out to be. And again, I think Tom Lees was exceptional. But I think everyone was. So I think it's credit to Town for recognising the situation that we're in, staying smart, staying strong, and good game management, which again is something that we've not really been able to praise Town on for a while as well. So a lot of boxes ticked.
And Cozzy, then for me,
I'll just throw this at you very, very quickly, because Brighton Wright is a bit of a breath of fresh air, isn't he? You know, we won all down.
Are we going to say the same thing, aren't we? Yeah, I was going to say that. Yep.
And we've got two set pieces at the end, and I'm thinking, just put the ball in the corner and hold it. And take the point. Now Brighton Wright is waving Pearson up, he's waving Lees up, and you know he's going for it. You know the win. You know, when we put two balls into the box, the first one they break from, and I think we just get the tackle in. The second one's right at the death, isn't it? But it's refreshing, isn't it? Because I would have taken the point. Darren Moore would have taken the point. Warnock probably would. Nagel, you know, everyone, not Nagel, but Father, you know, and then, but Brighton Wright is waving them forward. He's honestly, and you look at his interview afterwards, he's invested in the area, he's invested in the club, you know, he's walking around Huddersfield, you know, talking to people, having pictures and, you know, going to the coffee shops and stuff. And he's a breath of fresh air, isn't it? And you compare that to the previous manager who didn't want to live in the area and stuff like that. And it's just great, isn't it, to have someone who's willing to leave his family behind and come and get involved in the way he is and speak the way he does and give us a team that wants to win games. It's two games, but it's looking like a really good point.
But
bring you back in, Johnny.
He doesn't just, because he's right in front of where I sit, he doesn't just wave him on. I should know this, bit of town podcast, but who's Worthington's assistant who we kept on?
Kevin Russell, wasn't it? Kevin Russell.
There you go. I tested you on that one. Kevin Russell's kind of like giving him a bit of the instructions because it's a set piece, and he's kind of like a bit like, not. And Brighton Wright slaps his hand down and just waves like that, like, get up the pitch, like it's not even a question. So he doesn't just wave him, he slaps everyone down and like, yeah, so he is a bit of a breath of fresh air. But sorry, Cos, I'll let you carry on.
No, I'm glad you gathered that, Johnny, because, yeah, a few people sat on that side said it. Matt, that was my biggest takeaway from the game. Forget the game, forget the trouble in the town centre after, forget the Leeds, forget the sending off. I went away last night thinking that were just incredible, mate. It could be a false dawn, but I just walked away thinking that we are just in for so much exciting times with this man, because there were gasps from when I was sitting. There were gasps like, what is he doing? Because you know what we're like, us Yorkshire folk, we're pretty cautious, aren't we, and that as well. We don't want to risk it. And like you said, I think, I don't know if even Warnock were known for a guy who was kind of a, you know, kind of throwing men forward and that. So I don't think he'd have done that as well. But no, and exactly what you said there, Johnny, we're almost like he... What do you mean? You know, it's almost because they looked at him, did Lees and Pearson. It was almost like, why are you even looking at me? And he's just, we're going to go for the win. And he's just so refreshing. And I just think, I spoke to a few people last night who kind of picked us out when I were out. And that's all they wanted to mention, Matt. And this is the thing. It's like just a culture that is quickly developed. And he kept saying, was it 11 days or whatever that he's been there. It feels like he's been there a lot longer than it, and it's really, really good. I liked as well, after the game, he said, without kind of slagging Og off, because that's not what he would do, he said the red were unnecessary. So there's no doubt in my mind that he'll have had that chat if he needed to, and that as well with Og. I love his interviews, mate. He mentioned again his restaurants, and he won't mention which restaurants they are. It probably everyone's favourite pizza place, that Lee Clark. We're always spotted him. He knows what he's doing, mate. And I just think, it's just a shame it's just not at the start of the season and builds on, because, again, as we're going to come on to in a minute, their battle to stay up is just ridiculous. But it just feels like we're in calm waters with this guy. We're just a massive moment. And can you imagine if we'd have scored there, Matt? It'd have been absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, good leads are broke and won it as well. But you know what? I wouldn't have slagged him then. I know a lot, you know, the wise after the eventers would have done that as well. But I just think early on, you're looking for signs that you've got the right man in charge. The culture of defensive football and, you know, cautious and fear, and that spreads to the fan base and that as well. We just not got that now, mate. And it was quite staggering, I think, today, looking at some of them stats, thinking like we had in the second half, I think we had 18% possession, and it just didn't feel like that game full stop, Matt, even in the first half when we had a little bit more. I just get a good feeling with the guy, and the fact he's a nice guy. But he looks like, to me, Matt, a guy that, charms the interviewers and this and that, but to me, he can lay down the law. Not the guy to be pissed about with, mate. And I think if people ain't doing what they should be in Canal side, they won't be playing for him. And I just get good vibes. Just hope we can stay in the division. But I just thought we were a massive. I'm trying to kind of link it to back to the, I don't know, the Wagner and Middlesbrough, where you could see from start. But I just thought that were a beautiful moment. And now, when you buy a ticket to watch Huddersfield Town, whether it be at Cardiff on Saturday or, you know, West Brom next week, you'll know we'll try and win the game. And how refreshing is that for a supporter who, like, we've all been so frustrated when we go into places with low blocks and just, you know, just absolutely desperate. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, it's weird, isn't it, that they've said that today. It's like club record 1-1s, isn't it? I think 72, 73, that we had 11 1-1s, aren't we, this season? But so you would think, but obviously half of them under the previous regime, but this felt like a win. And obviously that's Andre's words, they're my words as well. I feel good day. I really enjoyed it, and out in the town centre after, the vibe, mate, was really good. People are really positive again about Huddersfield Town. They want to come and watch, and but again, just there's so much work to do on and off the pitch and the results and everything. But mate, it seems to have achieved a lot in a few months, but yet in 11 days, but yet we're probably nearer to the job than we were under Moore. But it's just chalk and cheese, mate. I don't like slagging previous managers or, you know, regimes off and stuff. But just what he's achieved, and the worthy four games were massive, and he just carried it on, mate. But he's just got the authority, the charm, everything about him, and it would an incredible moment if we'd have stolen that win, mate. The PISS it had boiled, and if everywhere would have been, oh mate, I was desperate for it to go in. But it just felt a pivotal moment, mate, and it's management Huddersfield. I just think anyone watching that thinking, wow, this is a guy who wants to win.
Yeah, Mikhail Helic's goal from the edge of the box, by the way, you mentioned earlier, was against Middlesbrough. Just remember that, recalled that one while we throw that in there. Lee Nichols in the White Rose Club as well afterwards said Brighton Wright has just got such an aura about him on the training ground. This is the kind of manager that you want to run through brick walls for as well, which is, you know, sort of stuff that's really good to hear as well in the White Rose Club. So it looks like, I know it's only 2 games, 4 points, but it looks, fingers crossed, touch wood and all that, that we might possibly have a good one. And we'll possibly just have a good break now. So come join us again in a few seconds' time.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's.
Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, Cozzy, the Big Red End has a new name, and it's much better, isn't it? The North End has been renamed to the Terriers Together Stand. Standing up to all forms of discrimination, a Terriers Together inclusion room has been created as well. A big step forward, you think, don't you, Coz?
Huge, mate, and it so frustrates me when we get... Yeah, I know people like to post and everything, but when you see some of these great bits of work that the club's done, you know, on inclusion... You know, and getting people to the ground. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if you have a certain, you know, kind of skin color or ethnic background and stuff like that as well, you don't feel welcome at some of these sporting events. And it really frustrates me when people pipe up, you know, knocking this stuff from the club, because it's all right for most of us. We can go and we can feel, you know, included and we can feel part of the scene, but there's people that can't. So I just think it's just beautiful what the club have done. Done there, and yeah, just the club's always, to me, I've always had really good values, but there's a lot of people there. It's only a small kind of staff that we've got, and they're working behind the scenes to do a lot of good things. And another thing I wanted to mention as well, Matt, is these supporter drop-in sessions that are on a Wednesday morning, I think between 9 and 12 in the Legends
Cafe Bar
and that as well. I think it's brilliant, mate, because what you've got to remember is that there's been quite a few posts recently about antisocial behaviour with the club, and it does depress me. A lot of people are getting on there, same names, having a go, blah, blah, blah. And I get some of it's like banter, but again, there's some people who don't want to come to the games because of whatever, you know, some comments. Some of the stuff I was hearing in the town centre yesterday were horrendous, man, after the game and, you know, and stuff. And it's just like, you've only got to look there. There's empty seats. And I know people say, well, it's because we're not winning games. But I'm telling you, there's people that don't want to go to watch Huddersfield because of a lot of different reasons and that as well. So these drop-in sessions are really good. I know they've got these text numbers where you can text stewards and things like that as well. But I just think it's like a really nice thing that you can, and obviously not everyone can get down there on a Wednesday, but you can kind of email or speak to someone one-on-one, because it could be absolutely anything. It could be a disability. It could be about affordability. It could be, you know, just about, I don't know, just the how they've been treated, maybe in the White Rose Club or things like that as well. I just love it, mate. And you speak to, I know a guy who's got a season card at Man United, and I get obviously worldwide club, but it's like they don't get anything like this. This is what I love about town. You get to feel part of the club. You can make a difference in there and that as well. And yeah, I really like that, mate. The inclusion's like huge, because it depends where kind of backgrounds you come from, but this people just think everyone could just like feels part of things, but they don't, and that's what it's all about. You know, we're all together, Terriers together. We all like to watch the games in a different manner. You know, you'd see people bringing like their kids to the game. You some people like coming in at 1:01 after about 8 pints, shouting and stuff like that as well. There's different ways people want to like kind of watch the game. People want to do corporate. You know, people want to just you know, maybe just get to 5 or 6 games and that as well. The club should be for everyone and that as well. And I feel obviously Dean Hall did so much great work there of that as well, and I'm really chuffed that it was massive for me that like Kevin Nagle will buy into that, because again, you speak to any Wednesday fans, Chancery and people like that, these people feel like alienated from their clubs depending on their owners are. And I think we've got a good one, you know, and the fact that he's wanting to keep the work going and that as well. So yeah, some people it might mean nothing. They might not give a toss, you know, Terriers Together. It's all about the 3 points on a Saturday and whatever. But you know what? Knowing some of the people who work in the background and work their asses off on that as well, some of them comments were, you know, a bit out of order for me and that as well. It doesn't seem to me whatever they do is like, well, then can you lead us day and things like that as well. When they shone the training ground up, you know, red the other day. I just think that's just like nice, mate. Just class touch and that as well. And yeah, long may this kind of stuff continue, because as soon as you don't get these drop-in centres, we're not Terriers Together and all this kind of stuff. Maybe, you know, an owner that's not got the community cluster out. The best thing about Kevin Nagle, yeah, all right, we want to know how much money he's got, but he's a community man. That was massive for me in getting him in. So yeah, but lovely to see. And yeah, the new stand, well, the new name of the stand and that as well. It had a good game to get its debut yesterday as well.
Yeah, well said, mate. Right, social media. So this is something I think you wanted to touch on as well, Cozzy. Anyone who knows me knows that my least favourite fixture is Huddersfield versus Leeds. For me, it's a fixture that just it seems to bring out the worst in some people. I just tend to shut off social media in the week leading up to it and for a few days afterwards because I just find the comments sort of not really befitting of well-adjusted people. It's just maybe I'm just turning into an old bastard, but I just none of it's really funny or remotely clever. It's they say it's banter. It's not. It's just crass shite. And it just seems to evolve around them lot going on about shagging dogs and then having no reason behind why they're saying it. And then it's an old Bradford City joke from over 20 years ago that even they got bored with after 2 years. Then in response, it's town fans, it's better than touching kids up nonsense, etc. It's just so tedious, isn't it? And then, I mean, at least Carmichael Dave had fun, didn't he? His timeline was a little bit crazier. I sometimes think that Kevin Nagle and co. don't quite understand the town supporter base sometimes, but, you know, after a year, and to be honest, I don't really understand them after 30 years of supporting town. But, you know, Dave seemed to work out Leeds fans inside 2 minutes, which was quite amusing. But other than that, I just find it a really sort of tedious fixture. I just find the build-up incredibly tedious and it's just not one I enjoy. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me? Johnny, I don't know.
No, it's the same in it. I think, I mean, banter and winding people up it has got a real space in football. I mean, I've got a couple of close mates that are Leeds fans, and it started the week quite quiet, and as it got closer, you got a little bit more banter. But that's in a closed group. I mean, it's like I understand what's right and wrong within our WhatsApp group and to a friend, and it's fair enough. But it's like, say, it's that classic cesspit of a place that Twitter can become. And some people seem to, I mean, not either quite understand how you speak to people or I mean, the way just to act on it. And it's, yeah, I agree with you. I think some people, it's just, you just need to have a look at yourself. It's not us to kind of police it or tell people what to think, but sometimes you just look at it and think, why do you feel a need to write or say some things? And it was quite interesting, all the things that came back to, like I say, Carmichael Dave. I think he probably, over in Carmichael, which is a place, which I assume why he calls himself Carmichael Dave, he probably was a little bit shocked and like educated himself a little bit around what English football fans are like. But I mean, some of the stuff isn't really funny, and I think some people just need to have a bit of a look at themselves. But other people that turn up on the Saturday and go to the games, probably not equally. So, or maybe two after some stuff happened after the game. But yeah, it's one of them things. You just gotta try and ignore it and block it out more than I could do what you do, Matt. Just try and avoid it because a lot of people are idiots.
I love the banner, but like obviously Neil, who who started the pub with Matt, he put a tweet out that got a laugh really. But a whole club's reputation being proud of being called dirty and cry about a few tackles going in today and how dirty we were, whoppers. To me, that's not much of a that's a fair comment, a bit of banter and that as well, but. For someone to put, stop going to Andy's man club meetings and just end it all, you'd be doing a massive favour. Disgusting. Absolute scum. And like the best thing about that, you're trying to find a positive in a horrendous like reply is that the people to jump on it were like Leeds fans, who were kind of friends of Neil and that as well. And it looks like the account's been suspended or stopped and that as well, which when you think of some of the, some of the stuff that people have put on their accounts like to celebs or whatever, and that's when it's took an eternity to get stopped. But yeah, obviously we come at it from a different angle. My hour in great demand last week, I went on TalkSport with Leeds person. I do with obviously that Yorkshire rivalry. I love the banter, mate. I love the banter.
Yeah, Joe's a sound guy, isn't he? Yeah.
It's brilliant, mate. And that's what, but he was telling me about stuff that were going on, like in the week and stuff. It's just so frustrating. The only positive that I would say, I didn't hear any of it, but obviously, when we played Leeds before, I don't want to say the word, but begins with Y. I didn't hear hardly any of that yesterday. So maybe people are kind of realizing that kind of stuff's not acceptable anymore, where, obviously when the Leeds Town games came kind of back, good like 2000, what was it, 7, something like that as well. That all I were hearing was that as well. But yeah, just, I get there's always going to be edge for the derbies, but they were just frustrating yesterday. It's like my friend like did, I'd seen her for about 15 years. She were in a van next to the away end, but she was just saying it's been really bad, like just with some of the trouble. But there were just people just looking for stuff. And we just, I think what worries me is like, if you've got kids and stuff, people's not asked for that. It's like, just crack on, we'll just fight and stuff. And I saw one or two incidents that were really poor. But I just love, obviously, you know, Matt, I love loads of different sports. And for me, it's like having that banter, that interaction. You can't beat like go to Germany, mate, and like just drinking with like different fans and just having the cracker what you're about. Yeah, and it's good. You know, with rugby league, mate, that, yeah, maybe it's not like it's still like, well, but you can still have some good crack, mate, and talk, oh, he's a good player or that's a good player. But like you say, it just degenerates into things. But another thing that you've got to bear in mind, that the social media people just wind it up. Sky Sports, you're like, they're obsessed with like Lee Nichols. They had to cut that bit out in the Lee Nichols. Yeah, he said what he said, but it's like, so everyone's steaming into him and stuff like that as well. It's, I think sometimes some of the media people can, you know, leave a lot to be desired. I posted that thing today with just like nothing. What's the guy's name? Chelsea sent about that. Gave Og a bit of a send off. But it was a Sun kind of article saying, oh, hilarious. And it's just like they were like glorifying someone, like abusing a, you know, a player for being sent off. And it's, I just think the media's kind of got a lot of stuff to answer for. Some of the media, obviously, you know, a lot of it is good, you know, the Yorkshire Post and obviously what Stephen does and stuff like that as well. But other stuff just looks to like inflame the fire and that as well. But for the first time, Matt, yeah, I know you've always said it, mate, yeah, I don't like the derby build-ups and stuff. And I do like doing the stuff with like the other podcasters and stuff like that as well. But yesterday, were the first time I've kind of walked there and back and stuff, we're building in Townsend, there were people kind of hanging out of pubs, just looking for, trying to spot people. There were, what didn't help as well, there were no trains. So everyone's got to come on these railway replacement buses from Leeds. So obviously everyone knows they're walking down there. And it was just like, it depends what your gig is, mate. But for me, it's just a game of football. But for like Neil to get that abuse and to, for people, Sky to get smacked just because he had a Leeds scarf on. And I'm sure it probably happened the other way somewhere else. But it's just, it's shit, isn't it, really? It's just, I just don't get it, mate. But.
I mean, a girl I go to the game with got abused as well just because she were in a town hat and outside there were people sort of hissing and spitting at families and stuff. And it's just not nice. But on the other side, there was a bloke who was a Leeds fan in the Leeds Road car park afterwards, helping a lady across the road with a trolley. So, you know, not everyone's bad. So there we go. He seemed a really nice guy. So there you go. So kudos to that guy. But it's just, I don't know. I just wish people could just not be so, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a nasty derby, isn't it? Just nasty. I don't know if it's just, I don't know. I think I'm just getting old, maybe.
Matt, before you move on to the next bit, I'll link you in here, mate. This time last year, we had 11 games to go. We were 6 points adrift of that line. 11 games to go now. it's just, oh, God knows what's going to happen, man. Jesus.
Mate, it's madness, isn't it? We came away, we've got the last couple of weeks, we've got a point that we didn't expect against Leeds. We've got a win at Watford we probably didn't expect last week. So we've got 4 points, and so we probably maybe expected one, didn't we, Max? And I've been saying all along, I think we'll be all right if we can stay out of the bottom three until after the West Brom game, because I think we'll be all right then. And then you get a point against Leeds and it's 4 points from six, and you think, bloody hell, this is really good here. We're starting to move. And then all of a sudden, you look at the results, Cardiff win, and we've got Cardiff on Wednesday. That's going to be interesting. Southampton thankfully did us a favour with Birmingham, didn't they? But Sheffield Wednesday winning relatively late, was it last 20 minutes or something? That was a slight disappointment. Sheffield Wednesday are one of the form teams in the league. You know, they're doing really well at the minute.
Plymouth on Tuesday, oh, geez, massive.
Yeah, QPR winning 2-1 at Leicester.
How is he not in jail, Matt? Jesus, he scored again, didn't he?
It really grates me that Elias Chair's allowed to play. I mean, he's found guilty in Belgium last week. And because the prisons are too crowded, they just let him go. And it's like, well, why is he not under house arrest or something? What is this rubbish? But, I mean, he's appealed, hasn't he? But, I mean, there's no way he should be allowed to. I don't know. I'm not just saying this because us and QPR are down there scrapping out, but I just don't believe he should be allowed to play. I find it absolutely crazy that, you know, he's playing football after what he's done. But we'll move on. Swansea Matt winning, Alan, but I mean, it was against Blackburn, which is fine. Stoke
Alan Nixon
winning.
Reckons it's two, any two from 13. We said nine last week. Can you even get it higher than that? How high would you go up now?
Well, there's a Watford fan in the Championship group I'm in, and he's convinced Watford are going down, and they're 12th, you know? So it's Sunderland are on a really bad sort of run, but they're on 47 points. I mean, Sunderland, Cardiff, 47. Watford are on 44. They probably only need another 5 or 6 to stay up. Middlesbrough 44 dropping, like, you know, Swansea winning. I still think 15th down. I think you're looking at Swansea down, but I think Swansea will be all right. Plymouth's home form, and they've got a couple of goal scorers there. They should be okay. Millwall have perked up, and that's really annoying because they look like they were dropping, didn't they? And Blackburn, I still think Blackburn might drop into it at some point. I'm not...
Matt, can I throw some at you that?
Yeah, go on.
He's still there, Matt.
Yeah, go on.
Can I throw something that David Archer keeps mentioning on his podcast with Steve and I? It's interesting. He, I'm not saying convinced, but he thinks if Huddersfield go under the dotted line, he'll find it really difficult to come back. But what worries me a little bit, mate, is that our big kind of 6 pointers are in April. So I'm not saying right off March, because obviously we've got Rotherham and we don't, West Brom, where we play yesterday, why not? But it's, are you on the kind of mindset that if we get, you know, say in the bottom three this time next week, and we could be easily. Do you think mentally that's going to be a shattering thing for us, or not necessarily because it's a different manager, one or two different players?
No, I think under Darren Moore it would have been. I think we'd have sulked, but under Brighton Redden, no, I don't think it would be a massive problem, to be honest. I think the mindset from the club's completely different to what it was. It was quite negative, wasn't it, with Darren Moore? I think if we'd have had a dropped in, I think we'd have been done for. But I just, under Brighton, right, everything just seems pointing towards, we seem to be looking up rather than over our shoulder a bit more. And it's just a better outlook. But the results are just, like I say, the results are crazy. You know, you got Millwall winning again. You got Ipswich thankfully beat Plymouth. Stoke beat Middlesbrough 2-0.
Cardiff worries me, Matt, because I just think we put a massive effort into that game yesterday.
Yeah, 10 men as well.
They're playing really well. Which championship, that don't mean a lot, but it's like, I don't know whether this negative is, it's not negative, it's just Rotherham are absolutely dross. And you just wonder, don't you, on that 16th of March.
They'll probably be as well, though, you know.
I think last year we did all the business, I can't remember, yeah, we were in April, wasn't it, where we kind of delivered, and we might have to do it again, mate, and that as well. But it's, I watched West Brom the other night and I thought they were really good. And Carlos ain't going to come to, you know, have his pants pulled down next Sunday. So it is unbelievable. I know there's others in there, but it kind of feels really dangerous to me, Matt, because mentally I'm thinking, we've got a great manager in now, we've got players coming back. This don't feel like a relegation season, where it obviously did last season under Moore, it were heading that way, but it don't feel like it. But that's what makes it, I think, even more dangerous for me. It's like now it's, you know...
I feel the reason why is because we're actually regressing down the table quite dramatically, but results are kind of seem to be going all right. We're getting results where we kind of either didn't expect it or would expect it, and we're hitting those targets. Like, if you look at the table on just after the games on the 14th, we're 5 points clear, and then obviously we lost, coming back to you, Matt, who did we lose? Hull. We lost to Hull. We beat Watford away, which is a good result. Do you know what I mean? A decent away win. And then a point, do you mean, okay, at home, but against a team that had gone, do you mean, record, almost record and beaten, sat at the time, second league, which they no longer are, to get that one in. But on paper, that's brilliant. That's a reasonable, do you mean, for a team where we are, where we're not going to pick up points every week, we're in a relegation battle. I think that's like, for the last five games, that's form of like 9th or 10th in the division. You think, well, fantastic, that's hitting all we need to hit. We should stay at least, continue to still be 5 points above the drop. And we're not. We're only out on goal difference. And you kind of think, how has that happened? The two don't seem to marry up. And that's why you said, because there, don't feel like we are where we should be, because you expect, well, 3-4 defeats on the bounce, maybe the draw chucked in. Okay. Then you start to think, yeah, we probably have slipped down the table. And that is what kind of does still worry me, is the fact that we are doing all right. We are doing well. We do what we need to do, but it's still not enough. And it begs the question that, either, like you say, the teams above will drop in, because that is the caveat to that, is the fact that teams above us now were 5-6 points above us, and now they no longer are. So it's kind of a good to be one of many rather than just having one target. I do think so. But it is, like you say, it is that line that we could find ourselves dropped below. And I agree with you. I heard Hartridge saying the same. And I think what he's kind of saying is, if it's a prolonged spell, you start to worry. But I think it is probably a bit different now, because it's going to change every week. When you've got 5 or 6 teams that are split by 1 or 2 points, you will find it change every week. No longer are we going to be nail on 21st week in, week out, because it will start to swap around. I don't think Cardiff are a winnable game as well. Again, over the last five games, they've got 7 points, exactly the same as us. So I agree with you. When, I mean, it's a little bit harder for us because of the game on Saturday was a derby, so it takes a bit more out. We've picked up injuries. We've still got players with illness, and obviously we've played with 10 men. But I do think it's a targetable game. But it is worrying that ultimately defines us is that table and the points above 22nd. And as we go in, we are sliding down and down and down and down in that position, in that table.
I think one other thing, Matt, that like last season, it felt like we'd gone. We were finished. We were finishing the one-up mentally as a fan base. I think we'd all given it up. And then we had nothing to lose. I think this feels a bit different now. I'm not saying ever at any point we're kind of miles out of it, but it just mentally, I just feel, if you didn't show me a table and watched our games like last, including Worthy's games as well, I'd just thinking, wow, this is a team no problems. And yeah, we've got big problems. It's just, I can't get over it. But you know what? We wanted a mid-table season at the start of the season. I don't like to dice with death, but in a sick way, don't you think it's kind of exciting, this or not? Oh, no.
A little bit. There's no such thing as a mid-table season, is there, in the Championship at the minute? Top 12 are going for the playoffs and the bottom 12 are trying to stay up. It's mad. But over the last six games, so Johnny's touched on some of the form there, but over the last six games, QPR are fifth in the Championship and Sheffield Wednesday are sixth. That's why we sort of are where we are.
Unbelievable.
Huddersfield are ninth. Huddersfield are ninth over the last six games in terms of form. Above Leicester and Southampton. Swansea are 12th. Cardiff are 14th. I think they've won the last two, haven't they? Which have sort of picked them up a little bit. Bristol City are sort of dropping. Birmingham are 17th. Stoke 18th. Millwall 19th. Sunderland 20th. Middlesbrough 21st. Interesting, Plymouth are 22nd. They seem to be in a little bit of a fall at the minute. Watford and Rotherham are the bottom two. And over the last 10 games, Huddersfield sitting 12th over the last 10 games. So, you know, it is a case of, you know, pretty much carry on doing what we're doing and we should be okay. But you look over the last 10 games and the bottom three is Blackburn, Bristol City and Rotherham. And Watford are just above, and Millwall and Stoke as well, just above that. But QPR is seventh over the last 10 games. It's absolutely crazy. Sheffield Wednesday 11th and us 12th.
It took 3,000, Matt, to Leicester yesterday, QPR. That's the fan base are up for it, mate. 3,000 to Leicester.
It's strange. They've got a good manager. That Cifuentes is a really good manager as well.
Armstrong, wasn't he? Come on, chase
he's,
game
he's,
yesterday,
he's Sinclair Armstrong, he's a good player. He's scoring. He's good. But, you know, Chris Willock as well. They've got some good players, QPR. Sheffield Wednesday, Danny Rowles doing a great job there, because I don't think Sheffield Wednesday's team's as good as ours or QPR. But
Matt,
Danny
how do you
Rowles
feel about
doing something really good.
My Wednesday, mate, is so frustrated because, like, they win and he looks at the table and it's like everyone else is winning. I says, mate, you shouldn't have started the season in October or November when it is. But how do you feel with the Carlos return, Matt? Do you think that's going to be even an harder game than it normally will be? Or are you confident of that?
No. Well, West Brom are good, aren't they? They're fifth. Yeah. Carlos, the way Carlos sets up is that they're really good at just sort of like hold, you know, where they're good at keeping you at arm's length and then picking you off. They're just very, very good at that. And that's probably going to be the worry, is we'll go at them and they'll just sort of like hold us at arm's length and then pick us off, because they're very good at that. I think when I looked at Leeds and West Brom, I actually thought West Brom might be the stylistically the harder game of the two, just because we're kind of made for them a little bit more than what Leeds were. But I think that's going to be a tough game. I mean, we said, didn't we, last week, if we get 3 points from Leeds, Cardiff and West Brom, we'll be quite happy. And I think that'll be the case. I'd take 3-1-1 Darren Moore draws. I'd be quite happy with that. But now all of a sudden it feels like we might need to win one of them. And that's it is crazy, isn't it? The Championship's such a good league to watch, isn't it? But being at the bottom is not so much fun, because you just can't seem to get away when you're doing well, and when you're doing badly, you don't seem to get any further adrift. It's such a bizarre league. But yeah, the form table at the minute indicates the ones that should be worried are Rotherham, obviously, Blackburn, Millwall and Stoke. But when Stoke win 2-0 against Middlesbrough, all of a sudden you sat there thinking, well, it's just going to all go out the window now and none of this is going to make any sense going forward. Ozzy's having a mare, Johnny, so you're going to have to jump in here. He's... I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Like I say, he's going to run over just to change week in, week out. And I think, like I say, all we can try and do is target those games around us. That will ultimately be what defines us. And we touched on it last week, didn't we? The fact that you'll start to get teams that to the foot off the gas, or it'll mean different things as we hit them. And we do a few of those. I think second tier put out, it wasn't their work, but they put out a difficulty rating of those teams. I think it went up to Plymouth, the difficulty rate of the running. And we were kind of sat fourth or fifth in that. So there are things in our favour. But it is going to... Well, it's town, isn't it? We're either looking kind of like for playoffs or kind of like top two, or we're looking to try and stay in the league. So it's just, for most town fans, it's as you were, business as usual, isn't it? And any normal season.
For anybody that's listening, not watching, it's Cozzy's having a bit of a shocker. He's maybe needs to go to the Huddersfield Town Dropping Centre on Wednesday for some of the IT stuff that they're on about there. But he's muted himself and he's staring longingly at what's going on onto his laptop, which is fun. But we're gonna end the podcast anyway, whether Cozzy could hear us or not. So it's been interesting week again. Johnny, Cozzy's back. I think he can hear us now. But it's been another interesting week, and we've got two big games coming up now, Cardiff and West Brom. Losing both is no longer an option. So and unbelievably, I think, did Leeds and Stoke play Tuesday night? I mean, we could go into the game against Cardiff in the bottom three, and that just feels crazy, doesn't it, given the recent form? But it is what it is at the minute, and hopefully the town fans can keep up sort of the attendance like against Leeds. The noise was really good, wasn't it? For a lot of the game, I think that really needs to happen in the remaining home games as well, and hopefully we can get over the line. But I think that's all we've got time for this week, Johnny. So thanks to you and Cozzy for joining us this week. Thanks to Magic Rock for sponsoring us. Email me, please. And thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
There's a team that is dear to its followers. The colours are bright blue and white. They're a team of renown, they're the pride of the town, and the game of football is their delight. And all the while, upon the field of play, thousands loudly cheer them on the way. Often you can hear them say, who can beat the town today? And then the bells will ring so merrily, and every goal shall be a memory. So town, play up and bring that cup back to Huddersfield. So town, play up, bring the cup back to
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now by the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.